If you're following along on the, online or later down the road listening to this, we are in 2 Peter chapter 2 for the last time, I believe. 2 Peter 2, a false experience. We tonight, a false experience. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, actually with 20. Let's just start right at 20. We'll come back a little bit. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they, that would be the false teachers, I believe, have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. May the Lord's blessing to the reading of his word. So we have a false experience. We see those who live by God's truth enter more and more into freedom. I believe those who are following false teachers enter more and more into bondage. As a matter of fact, it says of them that in verse 20, that the latter end is worse than the beginning. There is a principle, I believe, found in Scripture that, again, to whom much is given, much is required, and we're going to be held accountable. And I remember it was late Adrian Rogers who said, we're going to be held accountable at the judgment seat. People will be held accountable more for the light they rejected than for the sin they committed. And so I thought this was a thought-provoking statement, because we in America have had light. Have we not had the gospel over and over and over? And there will be some who stand at the great white throne judgment who never one time heard the truth of the gospel. If you look back to the Chorazin, Bethsaida, etc., Capernaum, they are going to be what? Held more accountable for the things done in Tyre and Zion had been done. Then Tyre and Zion would have repented if they, the same things had been done in, that were done in you. And so you're going to be held accountable. And so these false teachers who have led many astray, I think, are going to be held very accountable. I was reading Plato's quote. It said, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. But the real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. And I thought, how apropos for our world today that men are afraid of the light, the truth that would set us free of the bondage of corruption is the truth of the gospel. And so we find, if you compare in Matthew chapter 12, 43-45, temporary reformation without true repentance and rebirth only leads to greater sin and judgment. So your first blank says, reformation cleans up upon the outside, but regeneration changes the inside. If you remember the story there, Matthew, they had, he cleansed his house and then they came back and they all came back, the demons came back. Well, just read it real quickly. Matthew chapter 12, it's much easier for me to read it than for me to guesstimate and you to get a false impression. Chapter 12 of Matthew 43 of 12. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with him himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. These false teachers had made some type of outward profession that they were truly on the same side as the true believers. Question number one for you is this. Do we agree that sinful tendencies do not disappear when a person reforms? They merely hibernate and get stronger. That's why reformation techniques, as well as they've helped some, I tell you, what we need is the regeneration of God. Because reformation, we will, how many times have you in your life, for a time you reformed and then gone back into the same sin because you didn't really confess it and do it the right way, etc. So it takes God's help. And how many people have been on the wagon for various vices and then have fallen back off because they were trying to do it on their own? God brings regeneration. I'm not saying that believers do not sin. I'm saying that regeneration is different than reformation. There's a lot of people who reform their lives. There's probably a lot of people out in America today who are reformationists, never truly been regenerated. So there's a false experience. Continued on there in 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment and delivered unto them. Reminders, basic reminders here, very basic spiritual lesson. It's very important that we understand that the pronoun they in this entire paragraph refers to the false teachers and not to their converts. If you look back to 17, talking about Balaam in 16, and these, the false teachers, these are wells without water, clouds that carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure, etc. So the they of 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, but still in 22, that is referring, I believe, to the false teachers and not to their converts. And secondly, these teachers, then again, are not truly born-again people. If you look in Jude chapter 1, verse 19, Jude 19, we will see here what he says about these individuals. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. So it's very clear, if you read through the passage, that these false teachers were just that, false teachers, and truly had never been born again. It's not then professors, you're blank, the professor of spirituality that marks a true believer, but the possession of the Spirit of God within. Not just the professor, it is the possessor of the Spirit of God within. It is sort of like, as you're turning to page 2, they never come to me in my trailer, although we're working at a large electrical fixation where we're fixing all these electric issues. They have never come one time to me and said, "Now, Tim, how do you think we're going to fix this electrical problem?" Because they know better. Because I could say, "Oh, I'm a great electrician." What did you do? Go down to North Carolina, buy your card somewhere? I don't know anything about it. So they don't come to me. So if I would just be a professor, not a possessor. So that's what they made some kind of inroad. I could even go down and get me a certificate and buy me a license that says electrician's license and all that. And it would be worthless, really, because I know nothing about it. I would get probably blow the whole plan up if I got up to try to do something. That would not be a good thing. Now, how did they gain, question two, such an audience? I think they had, do you not think there are false believers in churches across Greenup and Boyd counties even today? How about America? Aren't there a lot of pastors who are masquerading? There are a lot of TV preachers who are masquerading to truly, and they really are not. They cannot be teaching, in my thinking, cannot be teaching what they're saying and truly be born again. You have to have a right theology. If you're teaching blatant wrong theology, you've not surrendered to the deity of Christ in your life. And so, yes, I think they had made some kind of profession to where they had gained adherence. Question 22. We consider 22. Did these false teachers ever become true sheep of the shepherd? It says no, because the dog returned to his vomit and the sow that was wallowed in her mire. I can get the nicest big pig and bring it in here and clean it up and put a big bow on it and curl the tail curl just like that and bring it in here and show it off. As soon as I get out that door, it's going to find the nearest mud hole and it's going to wallow in that. Because why? It's a pig. It's a pig. As much as you may not want your especially outside dog to go eat things it should not eat, my dogs, down when I were raised, it would throw up something, and lo and behold, just a little bit later, come back. The very same thing I just threw up. But that's, even in the Bible, back in Proverbs, so the dogs have been doing that for a long, long before you and ever I were ever born. They've been doing that very same thing. So these false teachers, it is said, the dog returns, the sow returns, and these false teachers are going to return to their original. Now, are the dogs in 22, are they pampered pooches proudly pandering to politely poised people? No, they're not like Moses, a pampered pooch. No, these dogs are the scavenger dogs. Now, I went to Romania, I was surprised at how many dogs are running around in Bucharest, Romania, the capital. There were dog packs here, there, and yon. Because they were scavenger dogs. It was a very negative thing to say you were a dog in that era. Now, what kind of experience did these false teachers had? They had some kind of experience where people assumed that they had truly been born again. But in time, their experience and their lifestyle and their decisions proved not so. I like the little phrase there under number 5. The pig looked better and the dog felt better, but neither one had truly been changed. Pig looked better.
The dog felt better. But really, they're still just the same. Just the same. We do not condemn a pig for being a pig. Why does the sow return to its mire? It's what's on the inside. That's what a sow does. It likes to wallow in the mud. Dogs like to return and eat things they should not eat. Even cats, Stephanie's cat, whenever we put up the Christmas tree, even though it's an artificial tree, it thinks Sasha has to get under there and start gnawing on those plastic things, on whatever those things, needles, the plastic needles, and here it comes up a little bit later on the floor, here, there, and yon. Won't you ever learn that those don't digest? They've got to come back up. And so there we are. But that's what she does. That's because she's a cat. So having had the experience of vomiting, does the dog change his ways? No, he does not. He returns to that very much. And Proverbs 24:4, dogs have been doing this for a long time. Now we're going back up for just a moment to 20 for just a moment again there. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, I found a definition of this word pollutions of the world regarding the false teachers. This is miasma in the Greek language. It means to express those noxious particles of effluvia proceeding from persons infected with contagious and dangerous diseases, or from dead and corrupt bodies, stagnant and putrid water, marshes, etc., by which the sound and healthy may be infected and destroyed. That's the pollutions. Having escaped the pollutions of the world by making an outward profession, and some would say that they, this persuasion, that they had actually truly been born again and then lost that relationship. But I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I believe the Bible teaches that if you're truly born again, that God has saved you and you are saved for eternity. So you don't lose what He has given you. It was Augustine that said, the whole world is one great diseased man lying extended from east to west, from north to south, and to heal this great sick man, the Almighty Physician descended from heaven. We are a corrupt people, are we not? I was just listening to someone, I forget what it was, where he said that he believed that everybody's basically good, and that we'll be always, I listen to some video somewhere. I believe everybody's basically good. No, we're not. You're basically bad. Matter of fact, without God, you're corrupt. We're just the heartful, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I just heard a couple of days ago, I was listening to, and how Amazon has bought the rights to the Lord of the Rings series, and they're going to make it an X, like almost like an X-rated series now. They've hired an intimacy coach. Now, it may not mean much to you, but to those of us who know what Tolkien was trying to say, one of the greatest literary works of wrong and right, no kind of wrong intimate doing at all, ever. And they're going to take that in order to make money off of it. They're going to add all these things into that. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Nothing is above corruption by the human mind. And to think that we are somehow really good down deep inside. Now, I find myself today just wanting to say a couple of snide remarks to a guy I work with because I just, I don't know if his middle name is Lacey, but I tell you, he never has developed a work ethic. Now, if you're like me, and you're a work person, work person, when someone you work with perhaps sits at their desk, put their feet up on the desk, and plays golf on their phone, while you are hustling around trying to do your job, and they're supposed to be doing something constructive, and yet maybe it would bother you as well, maybe perhaps. So I really wanted to say a couple times today, I didn't. So you pray for me that I'll be careful what I say. Because I don't want to cause problems for other people. Shall we move on? We shall move on. We find then that they have the knowledge there. That word's epignosis. The knowledge alone, though, is even the more intimate knowledge, even the gnosis, epignosis, does not save a person. And you have, and I remember down in McLaughlin County, a lot of times they would, at the different churches, they would, I think it was mostly the Hartshell Baptist, I believe it was, and they would say, I can't remember because I never went to services very much at all, but come and shake the preacher's hand. And lots of times they would assume that if you came up and walked the aisle and shook the preacher's hand, by that, You are signifying, now they may have really trusted Christ in their pew and come forward, but just shaking the preacher's hand, as you well know.
By the way, if that was what, in this COVID era, you'd really be up a creek if that's what I had to do to save, right?
But that does not save. Even a prayer without faith does not save. You could just mouth some words, and I could mouth the five pillars of Islam, but I'm not going to become Islamic. I'm going to die first. So it's more than this knowledge. Matthew Henry says, these men may have an external religious reformation, but not truly internal righteous renewal. As Peter alludes to in the last verse, their outward pollution was washed away, but their inward corruption was still there. The word entangled there is the weaving, the same word of the weaving of the crown of thorns in Matthew 27:29, when the soldier did that and put it on Christ. It's to interconnect loosely or to so wrap or twist together or thus entwine, intertwine, braid, entangle, and finally to be caught in. So let's read our verse there for us then. For if they have, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, they made it some kind of profession that changed their outward appearance for a time, they are again entangled. They have been so wrapped up in what they had escaped them previously that they are now unable to extricate themselves from the situation. It also refers to being involuntarily interlaced to the point of immobility. And was used literally of sheep whose wool was caught in thorns, or the hares or rabbits who were caught in thorns in Aesop's fables. They were caught, and they cannot then, they are, well, as you well know, the end of the false teachers has nothing good to say. Entangled once again. And the latter end is worse than the beginning. So one commentator says, the reason this whole area is so difficult for many people to understand and accept is because we in modern day Christendom have so watered down the gospel of Christ to the point that we may have many who, while professing faith in Christ, possess or demonstrate no permanent radical change in their lifestyle. It is sort of like inoculated. We've been inoculated with Christianity, a lot of people have, but not really what it is. If I'm going to avoid the flu, they may give me a flu shot, a little bit of the flu serum, right? To avoid getting the real flu. I think we've had a little bit, well, if you come to church, or if you'll do this, or if you'll just acknowledge it to God somewhere, well, then you're saved. And we've been inoculated with that, and people falsely assume that they have a right relationship with God, and there's no outward change. And so that's why we emphasize, as 1 John does, that we need to be changed outwardly. A profession that has not changed your life has probably not saved your soul. I remember Mr. Will telling me that over and over again. I remember that from years past. We find, and it says in 21, they turned from, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it, than to turn from the holy commandment. That turn there is a definite change, a definite turn back, the aorist tense, completed effective action in the past. A turn back from a previous belief, so they had been unsaved, and they've made some kind of outward profession, and they've garnered a following, much like the sorcerer in the New Testament, garnered a following. And so now, but now we find out the truth of why I really want to continue, but I'm going to go back to my old ways. I've gotten tangled up, and it's just too good. I've tried to stop drinking Diet Mountain Dew a couple times in my life. And I've been unsuccessful, I must say. I try it for maybe, I remember Mrs. Spence used to tell me, Packer Tim, that stuff's bad for you. And she's probably right. And she may well be right. But that's my two vices are Tic Tacs and Diet Mountain Dew. Those are my two vices. And so there we are. I've not really tried very hard with the Tic Tacs, but I've tried a couple times. It's just, you know, just let me die happy. Just let me die happy. There we are. For it has happened unto them, according to the two proverbs, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's just, that's what happens. It's an event, it happened, they're proving by their lives and lifestyle, they never were truly born again. It's like, how can a person claim to be a pastor and then all of a sudden become and jump on the LGBTQ agenda, proning themselves and coming out of the closet and wanting to remain pastor? It's because they never really had the truth of the gospel in the first place. If you're truly born again, you will repent of sin. I just dreamed a couple nights ago how I was at some visiting some church, and I said something to the effect that that's a sin. You know, it's clearly against God's directive, and the person got mad at me, and I said, "Well, I'm not attending your church anyway." So there, I don't know, like in my dreams. So there we go. I can't remember. I was like, "This is the truth of what the Bible says." Do you not realize that we've come to the point in our own country? Well, I'm just going to read the points. It's saliently clear in this book. By the way, if you want to borrow it when I'm done, When a Nation Forgets, this is just one paragraph, so don't get real nervous. Willingly, a willing blindness. Luther says, I've observed, as I'm sure you have, the power of what I call a cultural current. That is, a dominant idea promoted by the media, and willingly adopted by a critical mass of people who want to believe a myth so badly, they will close their minds to all contrary evidence. When such a cultural movement gains momentum, people will stare at facts and filter out what they don't want to believe. Contrary evidence will be ignored or reinterpreted to fit their deepest wishes. And the more people who believe the myth, the more difficult it is for those who wish to counter it. In a spirit of euphoria, all warning signs are brushed aside, and he puts them in italics, before we know it, we are a world where facts do not matter. We are a world where facts don't matter. I can tell you that to give an 8-year-old child hormone blockers and to change their life forever and to stunt their mental growth is not something an 8-year-old child should make a decision about. Period. Nor should actually any other human being, but certainly not a child. And to espouse the idea that that is okay, whoever you are, in whatever position you are, you're ignoring the facts. We're ignoring the facts. How about the fact that 41%, the rate of those who have tried to transgenderize themselves, the rate of suicide is like 40 or 41 times. Where do we hear that? But we want this. But we want that. Well, here's the facts. We don't care about facts. We want what we want. And do you realize that's where we come into Germany did that? Well, the Jewish people, they're not really people. They're less than human. So we're going to make laws that say it's okay for we as Germans to take care of the Jewish people. But here's the truth. But they're human. No, they're not. We've been told they're not. We've got laws against it. And so when they have to try them for war crimes, well, we didn't break any Jewish, or we didn't make any German law. So we can't be guilty. Well, you can. Because it's a war crime tribunal of the world and not just of your own country. Scoffing at the scoffers, or chapter 3, would there please? Scoffing at the scoffers. And the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in last day scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Scoffers. I read the story about a woman who worked for the Internal Revenue Service at times. She had to communicate with delinquent taxpayers, of all things. On one occasion, she called Anchorage, Alaska, and was patched through to a ham operator in the Aleutian Islands. 2 hours later, the ham operator raised the taxpayer's home base and from there reached him at sea with his fishing fleet. After the woman identified herself as being the IRS in Utah, in the United States of America, there was a long pause, then over the static from somewhere in the North Pacific, he said, ha ha, come and get me. Scoffers. Scoffers. Now that's a humorous story. But there are scoffers now in abundance. We are living in the land of scoffers. As you well know, there's the scoffing about Christ coming again. Ignorance. I like what Will Rogers says. Was he the one from Portsmouth? Will Rogers, another one? Roy Rogers. I'm sorry. Roy Rogers. Yes, I'm sorry. Everybody's ignorant, only on different subjects. I like that. Because that's me. So I was trying to help. I was trying to help shrink wrap a pallet, and I got this little shrink wrap thing. It's only about 6 inches wide. We're trying to wrap it through there, and I was trying. And I got all messed up. And finally, the guy comes out. When the superintendent says, "Tim, I finally found something you're not good at." There it was. Now, I'm ignorant of how to shrink wrap a thing, and I used to do packing all the time. So I was kind of embarrassed. So I just laughed it off and went on. So ignorant. Everybody's ignorant only of different subjects. Now, how would you categorize these in three? Knowing the first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after according to their own lusts. And verse 5 gives us a big hint. For this they are willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. They are blind, even though the facts are self-presenting to them. And of course, this is talking about, as you well know, uniformitarianism. That everything has continued on since the beginning of time, the geological ages, etc. And so there's no part in there for a worldwide cataclysmic flood. So if you believe in uniformitarianism, that everything in the past continues on now as it always has been, as a convenient way to say there's no worldwide flood and we can believe in evolution. And so that's what uniformitarianism is. I reject it. I believe in what the Bible has said. There's abundant evidence. How do fossils get on top of mountains? All these things, really, if you just open your eyes to the truth, I'm bald on top. I've got to open my eyes, and I can try to put some things up there, and I can spray some things up there, and I can put some implants up there, and I can, but you know, the bottom, at the end of the day, my wife's going to cut my hair tonight, because I have the hat hair tonight, so she'll, anyway, I'm bald. Now, there's a few scrubby things up there, I have to shave them off every other day, but I've got to come to grips with that. The truth is this, there's not a lot of hair up there. I've just got to come to grips with that. The truth is this, if you'll just open your eyes, there is evidence. We believe in Christ and creation with the evidence. Those who believe in evolution believe in spite of the evidence. It is you and I. It's just, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe that an accident 14 billion years ago created everything or started everything in motion than it is to believe an almighty God who is continually holding us all together. The evidence is abundantly clear. And yet, they're willingly ignorant. People are willingly ignorant of the truth of Scripture when it comes to creation of mankind. Do you realize what a foothold evolution has? In our country alone, even Christians have succumbed to it because we don't want to seem like we are ignoramuses. So we have progressive creationism or we have theistic evolution. Baloney on all that. Simply trust what the Bible says. Why is it now in this last 50 years we in the world have become so smart that we know we have? No, we don't. We become more ignorant. I think the smartest man who ever was created was Adam. And we've gone downhill from that. Now, Solomon, the wisest man, the smartest man, I believe, was Adam. Can you imagine naming all those animals in such a short time? Amazing. So God's word is true. Are there times, question number 10, and I know what time it is, we've got 2 minutes. Are there times when Christians need to, I think that clock is slow, when Christians need to be roused out of our lethargy? Yes. How should the teaching of prophetic passages affect a believer today? We should be stirred to activity. The Lord is coming back. We know that, right? Just because He hasn't come back yet does not mean He is not coming. It just means He's patient. Can you imagine living eternity past? Living for eternity future? And we've got, it's been 2,000 years. I've been alive forever. It's been 2,000. Yeah, I'm giving you time. I gave Canaan 400 years. I've given you 2,000. Be grateful. I'm coming back. If He doesn't come back, this is a lie, and we know it's not a lie, right? So He's coming back. Let's get ready and let's enjoy chapter 3 as we continue forward. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your love, for Your care. Thank You that You are coming back and we are to be excited about what You have done for us. Lord, we don't know. We should Lord, help us to think of this as an exciting time when we can share what you have done and what you have in store and that you are in control and you have a plan. Help us to do that and not be discouraged. Cast all our care upon you. Be still and know that you are still God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.